And if you look at the world in the time of the prophet, it was the time of the movement of the great empires. Is that not right? Of venturing out from your own homeland across the ocean into other people's homeland. And we found men on the Arabian Peninsula whose homeland was not Arabia. Their homeland was Europe. We found men on the peninsula of Arabia from different parts of the world. And there were men in Africa from different parts of the world. European occupation, Roman occupation in the Middle East, Roman occupation in Africa. The Greeks had been there. The empires were spreading. They were on the move. Man's concept of the world was becoming more universal. His view and outlook on the human needs were becoming more universal. So God raised up the messenger for that time, for those needs. He raised up a man to speak to the universal needs and to the universal concerns of man. Not only for that day, but for all time. So we have to understand that we don't introduce a foreigner when we introduce Prophet Muhammad. We are not introducing a foreigner. Allah says of him and of the word, say, the men of wisdom in religion, the wise in religion, they know him as they know their own children. They're not ignorant. They know what Scripture says. They know what God promised. And they know Prophet Muhammad came perfectly fulfilling what God promised. Peace and the blessings be upon him. So let's look at the prophethood. He is a prophet in the long line or chain of prophets that God missioned from the very first need that man experienced in Adam. May peace be upon him. And he comes to complete that chain or that line of the prophets and to establish the universal message for all time. What does he offer us in his person? What is the most precious thing? What is the most precious value for us in the person of this universal prophet? The dignity of the individual. The dignity of the individual. Now, if you study history, especially social history, the history of society, the growth of society, you find that the idea of the individual as precious is more prevalent, is more pronounced in universal education than it was pronounced in the feeble efforts that were made by the philosophers who were local in their imagination. Is that not correct? Those philosophers, those men of genius, those men of intellect, of old, of ancient times, who were more local in their vision and local in their imagination, the power of imagination, they didn't give us this precious idea of the individual right, and the precious idea of the individual as a dignity that we can't violate, that we shouldn't violate. Praise be to Allah. So what we see in the person of the prophet is this. This is the most precious thing we see in the person of the prophet. How are we going to explain this now? We explained it by showing you the prophet. The prophet was not a son of the rabbis. Our prophet was not a son of the elite class. He was not one who inherited culture and wisdom. He was not one of the Ivy Leaguers. How do we describe him as a human being? How do we describe him as a man in the makeup of society? He has to be described as one of the uneducated masses. That's how he's described. And Allah has left that description of him in the Quran for all time. He is called the Ummiyyi prophet, the Ummiyyi messenger prophet. Ummiyyi. What does the Ummiyyi mean? Mean that he was not educated. He was not educated. Ummiyyi, not educated. He was one of the common people. He was not a product of any school or any institution. His attributes, his merits, his worth to his family and to society, to man at large, is not to be attributed to an institution or to any school. He was a common, uneducated person like we are. And he was carrying upon his heart the burdensome conditions of his people at that dark time in the period of history. Their superstition, their ignorance, their arrogance, their pride in their stupidity. I talk to some of you, and I see such great pride in your stupidity. You talk down to me as if you know so much more than I know. And you fool me sometimes. You get my respect. And then you slip up and say something that let me know I'm talking to an ignorant person. What in the world is this? Proud and arrogant in our stupidity. Well, see, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he was carrying the burden of his people and the world on his heart. He was a morally upright person who was not overcome by the superstitions and the vulgar display of his people, who went around the holy Kaaba that's there, built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, peace be upon them. But it had become polluted with false idols. They had lost the true religion. And they were annually going about the Kaaba. And those who didn't have the money to purchase garments, they had to go around naked. They were put on the spot. They were pointed out, these are the poor. So they had to go around naked. And this was allowed, that they go in the nude around the Kaaba. This is history. We have it preserved. The history is preserved. And you know that must have been a terrible burden on Prophet Muhammad's heart. Men taking pride in men, very much like these hoodlum gangs we got over Chicago and in many other big cities. They look at manpower. I got 1,000 men. How many you got? And they were trying to outdo each other in the number of able men. So they were disgraced when too many girls were born into their family. So what would they do? They had a pagan, savage, ugly habit, worse than savage. We can't find the word to describe it, of killing the baby girl and burying her in the sand. You can't imagine the ignorance that was on that society and the world. That was Arabia at that time, but the whole world was in very much the same shape, except for a few isolated pockets. The burden was so much on him, so he left the community of people. He went way out into the valley, went up into the mountain, away from everybody. And there in solitude, screamed out, crying to God. Say, if there's a God, where are you, God? What about the world? What about the people? Is there a way for them? Shall we always bear this? And God turned to him in his moments of grief and silence and gave him the first verses of Revelation. He was not a literate person. He was not an educated person. And the first words of Revelation says, Ikra, read. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. In the name of your Lord who created. Can you imagine that? Don't lose sight on the reality. This happened to a man that was just like the average one of us, been denied the opportunity to get an education, and have been denied the wisdom that men trust to guide their feet and their hands and their brains and eyes been denied that and just left to the world, left at the mercy of the world. And that man, carrying the burden of humanity on his heart, seeks solitude in the mountain of the light now that we visit when we make hearts. Climbed up there, the ordeal just to climb up there. But he climbed up there and set in a hole in the mountain, in the top of the mountain, there in peace and quiet and solitude, and cried out, searching for an answer from the Lord of the world. And Allah answered him, and he was uneducated, and the first word said, read. And the man could not read, he was not educated. So his reply was, I cannot read. And Allah repeated it through the angel again. He said, read. And he replied again, I cannot read. And Allah for the third time commanded him, read in the name of your Lord who created. And when the verses came, he said exactly what Allah had told him. He repeated it. And from then on, he was repeating what Allah was telling him. And as a result, we have this book that contains what Allah told him. And this book broke the dark spell that was upon the world and brought science and enlightenment out of Arabia to awaken again the educated history, or the history of science in Europe and throughout the world. That's the glorious religion that you are now a part of. Don't forget that. So again, I say to us, to you, that the most precious thing about Prophet Muhammad for us, but the most precious thing in his person to us, is that he is a sign from Allah. Yes. What is he a sign of? A sign that intellectual slavery, the slavery of intellectualism, is broken forever. Never will an elite group of intellectuals command the minds of the world. Allah has bypassed them and have gone to the man who didn't have education. And he established the sciences again through that man who was not of their school, not of their colleagues. So that's a sign to the world for all time that the intellectuals do not command, they will not dominate the sciences, they do not command any monopoly on the sciences. But Allah didn't call on them to bring the sciences back into the world, but he brought an illiterate up to him, and he gave him the knowledge, and then gave it to us. That speaks for my dignity. I don't know. You all can't think, I don't think. Something is wrong with your mind. You're unable to think. When I hear that, you know what that does for me? That tells me that I am capable of knowing what's in this world, of knowing the sciences in this universe, that me, this person, born 1933, October the 30th, in Hamtramck, Michigan, Wallace D. Muhammad, on the birth certificate, that this child, this man, is capable of knowing what's in this universe. I'm capable of coming into the sciences without going through the doors of the intellectual. I don't have to go to them for it. Yes! It didn't happen to me. It happened to Muhammad. But Muhammad was a man just like me. And Allah says in his Quran, say, Muhammad, tell them that you are a human man just like them. Basharun mithlukum, that you are a human man just like them. So that tells me, look, he's a human man just like me. He had no angel qualities. He had no superhuman qualities. He was a human being just like me. And he was not fortunate to be raised by intellectuals. He was just his circumstances. Not only his nature, but his circumstances too was like mine. His nature was typically human, all 100% human, just like mine. And his circumstances were like mine. The world kept me out too. I'm not the son of an intellectual either. Okay? All right. So what does that tell me? When I read what happened to Muhammad, peace be on him, when I read what happened to him, that God took a man like me, natural man like me, and in circumstances just like mine, and then he gave that man revelation and made that man the leader for all time. And from his mouth, from his leadership, from his hand, came the work and the leadership to bring up the sciences, to enlighten the world again. That speaks for me. That speaks for what I am. Now you tell me they're going to sell me Jesus after I get Muhammad? Jesus didn't offer me that. Only Prophet Muhammad offered me that. I can't see myself being a man like Jesus. And when I look at what happened to Jesus, I don't get no sense of dignity out of that. It doesn't tell me, oh, that happened to a man. You're a man too. See how great a work here, and see your great work. See what great possibilities are in your own being, your own substance. I can't see that because they say a substance was not human, her substance was divine. This is not to turn you from Christianity. Believe me, if I thought you really wanted to be a Christian, I'd tell you right now, hey, you really want to be a Christian. You shouldn't be here. I'm going to say things to shake your faith. Go. I wouldn't even want you here. If you really wanted to be a Christian, I wouldn't want you here. Mm-mm. I would like to know before I start. Say, look, well, don't stay here. I believe I'm going to say things to shake your faith. Please go now. Before I get started. But as I said earlier, if you're shopping, then we have to serve you. I hope I'm not boring you or tiring you out, but just bear with us a little while longer. All right, so let me again show you what I'm talking about in Jesus. Jesus offers a great moral message in his person, a great moral message. But the moral connection, the work of him as a moral sign to us is destroyed by them saying that he was not a man like us. If he was not a man like us, then my own nature is disappointed. They tell me, oh, Jesus, you know Jesus. He wasn't crooked. He didn't deceive. And his heart went out to all people. Irrespective of their race or color or their class or status in society. He went to the hunger, the people who hungered. He went to the poor. He went to the disease. He ministered among the sick and the poor and the ignorant and the diseased. He was a messenger to the sinners. And he didn't look down on them. But he sat down and he supped with them and he talked with them and he walked with them and he aided them. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But so did Mother Teresa. And she had a father and a mother. I think Mother Teresa had more worth to sisters and brothers than Jesus. Now, I know when I talk like this, it makes some of you all poot on you. Excuse me, please. Please excuse me. You know. Well, your minds ain't right. This world got your minds wrong. If your minds were right, what I'm saying would be fresh, clean water. You'll say, boy, I haven't had a glass of water like this in ages. Say, this is what I've been wanting. If your minds were right. You see how they build up their tower and then knock the foundation off from under their own tower without knowing it? Build up a man that's so wonderful and then say, no, he's not a human being. He was not born like we are born. He had no father.
You might say, well, doesn't your Quran say the same thing?
Yes. Sure, the Quran says the same thing. But the Quran says he is a sign. And the Quran gives us Prophet Muhammad, a man just like us, who also lived on the highest pedestal of moral excellence, who also did what Mother Teresa does, who also did what Jesus did. But he is the last messenger. So Jesus, in his sign, pointed toward Muhammad, the coming one. That's how we understand it. And our Quran teaches us of Jesus, of the mystery of Jesus, in such a way that we don't walk away with the burden of superstition and confusion. To understand him is to understand the word of God. Kalimatan, a word from Allah. And if he was the sign of the word of God, does the word of God come to us depending on the Father? Depending on the rabbi? Depending on the priest? Or does God bring the word to the people without the aid of teachers? So the Immaculate Conception is a sign of what actually happened in Prophet Muhammad. Now, you know, when I speak this way, I cause a lot of them to shake. Who's supposed to know? A lot of them know all, you see, know it all. I cause them to shake, but I don't mind shaking them. It's my pleasure to shake them, because they sleep too. Yeah. So we believe in the Immaculate Conception. We believe in the birth of Jesus, the prophet, peace be on him, as it is given to us in the Quran. We believe in it 100%. We who know, we believe in it 100%. We don't question the power of God to do whatever he wants to do. But at the same time, we know that the real message is in the sign. And the sign points to Muhammad, that he did not have a teacher. He did not inherit from a father. That God raised him up from his community, from his nation. God raised him up from his nation. Yes. And even more wonderful, it wasn't even virgin. Isn't that wonderful? That the message of Al-Islam say, yes, it can happen, and it doesn't have to be a virgin. Allah can bring a virgin man up. He can bring a pure man up from a society that's not virgin. Say, oh, it can happen, but only from a virgin. No, yes, it can happen, and it doesn't have to be a virgin. You see the higher wisdom. You see the superiority of Al-Islam. All right. Praise be to Allah. We know his physical mother, the lady Amina. She's also virgin, in the sense that she was not lewd woman. She was not lewd woman. But the higher meaning of the term would not apply. In fact, the circumstances for Jesus and Prophet Muhammad were very much alike in many senses, but in the sense of the environment favoring Jesus' development, whereas Prophet Muhammad was different. The environment favored Jesus' development. It's known in Christian history, and also by Muslim, learned Muslims, that Jesus came up in a holy, Puritan religious society.